time, you know, we had all these sort of strict criteria for testing. It had to meet the CDC guidelines. They weren't really doing asymptomatic testing, and they weren't doing travel testing. So all of the ways that I could have been tested if it were today wasn't available, and the symptoms I was reporting didn't meet what was part of the CDC guidelines at the time. So it took a long time to get the test, and then it took a long time to get the results back.
Talking to you back then, it seemed like the loss of sense of smell was a big indicator for you. Mm-hmm. What other symptoms did you figure out you ended up having?
Yeah, so the loss of smell was definitely the most noticeable. And I guess I'm one of the very few people who experience a prolonged loss of smell. It's a smaller percentage, but that did take about 5 months to come back, and then another several months till I had some like distortions to my smell and taste to clear up. So that was sort of drawn out process. But the other things that I noticed that I thought at the time, you know, it's really stressful and kind of scary right at that time. So I thought I was experiencing a lot of just stress, and I realized later that what I was attributing to stress, kind of racing heart and maybe even somewhat irregular heartbeat, I think was COVID related. I wouldn't call chest pain, but it was scary because it would happen every day and while I was exercising. There was that, and just like full body inflammation that lasted weeks and weeks and weeks. If you've ever exercised at elevation, it was like that. you can breathe. It's not that you're not breathing, but you just don't feel like you get all of the oxygen in that you need. In retrospect, I realized that a lot of those things had to have been related to COVID.
How long then did those kinds of things last?
I would say maybe 3 to 6 weeks.
Okay. So 3 to 6 weeks of that, and then loss of smell for about 5 months?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about socially for you back then? I mean, you were the first one in Petersburg. It was so new, pretty much to the country back in March of last year. How hard was that for you?
That was 100 times harder than anything I experienced from the actual virus. That was the hardest. So it was, you know, asked, but I don't want to go into too much detail, but asked not to leave our property because it made people uncomfortable. You know, now that's not a thing. Now it's like, oh, you know, there's much more reasonable expectations for if you're quarantining or isolating or strictly socially distancing. And, you know, hearing people say, you know, she was here at this place or at that place when it was just not the case. And I know people were scared. It was really scary a year ago. Now I think, I hope that we're not feeling as much fear because we know so much more. I don't think there's any reason to be fearful now other than just vigilant. Two different things in my mind. But yeah, socially it was really hard. I did not enter a public space for 3 months.
Things are so different now. And people that I've talked to with this outbreak, you know, people are just more used to it. It's been a year. So
now we have so much more information. When you have information, you can approach a situation without all that fear, and you can have a reasonable response to it. You know, at the time I was like, if I pass it to my kids, are they going to die? You know, I mean, I don't have that same fear now. You know, if I got COVID today, I don't think it would be even nearly the same experience, because I could say, okay, I know rationally I'm going to be fine. I know if I pass it to my kids, the chances are they're going to be fine. I know how to protect my community, and so I don't have that worry on my shoulders, you know.